it off. Doesn't make sense. I wonder why it is that parents, dads particularly, buy toys for their children and then spend so much time playing with them themselves. Doesn't make sense. How come people who don't have a watch on will still look at their wrist when you ask them what the time is? Doesn't make sense. Why is it when the battery on our television remote control is flat, we press the buttons all the harder, as if that would make them work? It doesn't make sense. How come abbreviated is such a long word? Let me tell you something else that doesn't seem to make sense. You only ever get one meal a day. It wasn't a meal from McDonald's, so you were hungry most of the time. And imagine how you would feel if you only had one meal a day. Imagine you had to work long hours in the fields just to get by. Imagine how you would feel. Imagine that you had to walk for an hour every day just to fetch clean water, water that was safe to drink. Imagine how you would feel. It doesn't make sense. And yet so many around the world, Peru and many, many other countries, so many live with these as everyday realities. We're going to see some more people from Peru, people who are just like that. People you'd expect to be sad and unhappy with their lot in life. For the children in these pictures in that presentation, life could seem hopeless. But because of the scripture breakfast program, they're not only given a meal each day, but they're also given the opportunity to learn to read. They're given hope, they're given skills for the future, with the possibility of employment. Divine Trust, Scripture Union, the Bible Society in Peru, the local churches, they all work together to help the children learn about Jesus through sharing Bible stories and using scripture materials such as colouring books and new reader portions. Jesus reminded the people that he was speaking to, that they were impressed by the miracles. They had all eaten of the loaves and the fish. They'd seen the miracles. They'd had their fill. And Jesus reminded them that the true bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, the one who comes from heaven to give life to the world. And they said, "Give us that bread." They wanted more of it. And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Imagine what it's like to be introduced to that bread. Imagine what it's like to be introduced to something that fills your life when your life's been empty before. The other week there, I was at a prayer gathering with some of the other local ministers and church leaders, and we heard this story, which I'd like to share with you. A number of years ago, in a Baptist church in Crystal Palace in South London, the Sunday morning service was closing, and a stranger stood up at the back and raised his hand and said, "Excuse me, Pastor, can I share a little testimony?" Well, the Baptist pastor looked at his watch and said, "You've got 3 minutes." And the man proceeded. He said, "I've just moved into this area. I used to live in another part of London, and I came from Sydney in Australia. And just a few months back, I was visiting some relatives, and I was walking down George Street." You know where George Street is? It's the main shopping street, the road that runs from the business hub out to the rocks in the colonial area of Sydney. And he said, "A strange little white-haired man stepped out of a shop doorway and put a pamphlet in my hand and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" And he said, "I was astounded by these words. Nobody had ever told me this. And I thanked him courteously, and all the way home on British Airways, all the way back to Heathrow, this puzzled me. And I called a friend who lived in this new area where I'm now living, and thank God he was a Christian and he led me to Christ. And I'm a Christian and I want to fellowship here in your church. Baptists, of course, love testimonies like that, and everyone applauded and welcomed them into their fellowship. Well, that same Baptist pastor flew to Adelaide in Australia the following week, and 10 days later, in the middle of a three-day series in a Baptist church in Adelaide, a woman came to him for counselling, and he wanted to establish where she stood with Jesus Christ. And she said, well, I used to live in Sydney, and a couple of months back I was visiting friends in Sydney, doing some last-minute shopping down George Street, and a strange little white-haired man, an elderly man, stepped out of a shop doorway and offered me a pamphlet and said, excuse me, ma'am, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? And she said, I was disturbed by those words. And when I got back to Adelaide, I knew this Baptist church was on the next block from me, and I sought out the pastor, and he led me to Christ. So, sir, I'm telling you that I am a Christian. Now, the pastor from London was very puzzled. Twice within a fortnight, he'd heard the same testimony. He then flew to preach in Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Perth, on the other side of Australia. And when his teaching series was over there, the senior elder of that church took him out for a meal. And he said, mate, how did you get saved? He said, well, I grew up in this church from the age of 15, went through the boys' brigade. I never made a commitment to Jesus. I just hopped on the bandwagon like everyone else. And because of my business ability, I grew up to a place of influence. I was on a business outing in Sydney just 3 years ago. And an obnoxious, spiteful little man stepped out of a shop doorway, offered me a religious pamphlet. It was cheap junk. And he accosted me with the question, excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? He said, I tried to tell him that I was a Baptist elder. He wouldn't listen to me. I was seething with anger all the way home in Qantas to Perth. And he said, I told my pastor, thinking he would sympathise with me. And my pastor agreed. He'd been disturbed for years knowing that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And he was right. And my pastor led me to Jesus 3 years ago. Now, after his time in Australia, this London Baptist minister flew back to the United Kingdom. He was speaking at the Keswick Convention. Some of you I know go there or have been there, the Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And he threw in, during his speech, these three testimonies. And at the close of his teaching session, four elderly ministers came up and said, we got saved between 25 and 35 years ago through that little man on George Street giving us a tract and asking us that question. Well, the preacher was preaching at another Keswick convention, this time in the Caribbean, the following week, and he was speaking at a gathering for missionaries, and he shared the testimonies. And at the close of his teaching session, three missionaries came up and said, we got saved 15, 25 years ago through that little man's testimony, and asking us that same question. Coming back to London, he stopped in America, stopped in Atlanta, Georgia, to speak to a naval chaplains convention. Then when his 3 days of revving up these navy chaplains was over, there was over 1,000 of them. He was encouraging them in soul winning in the United States Navy. The chaplain general then took him out for a meal, and he asked the chaplain general, how did you become a Christian? And the chaplain said, well, it was miraculous. I was racing on the United States battleship, and I lived quite a reprobate life. We were doing exercises in the South Pacific, and we docked in Sydney Harbour for replenishments for the ship, and we hit King's Cross with a vengeance. I got blind drunk, I got the wrong bus, I got off in George Street, and as I got off, I thought it was a ghost. This elderly, white-haired man jumped in front of me, pushed a pamphlet into my hands, and said, sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? And he said, the fear of God hit me immediately. I was shocked sober. I ran back to the battleship. I sought out the ship's chaplain. And the chaplain on the ship led me to Christ. and I soon began to prepare for the ministry under his guidance. And here I am in charge of over 1,000 chaplains, and we're bent on soul winning today. Well, 6 months later, that London minister, the Baptist minister, flew to a convention for 5,000 Indian missionaries in a remote corner of northeastern India. And at the end, the Indian missionary in charge, a humble little man, took him home to his humble little home for a very simple meal. And the Baptist minister said to him, "How did you as a Hindu come to Jesus Christ?" And the man said, "Well, I was in a very privileged position. I worked for the Indian diplomatic mission. I travelled the world, and I'm so glad for the forgiveness of Christ and his blood covering my sin, because I'd be very embarrassed if people found out what I got up to." He said, "In one bout of diplomatic service, it took me to Sydney in Australia. I was doing some last-minute shopping, and laden with parcels of toys and clothes for my children, walking down George Street, this courteous little white-haired man stepped out in front of me and offered me a pamphlet and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you died tonight, are you going to heaven?' And he said, I thanked him very much, but this disturbed me. I got back to my town and I sought out the Hindu priest, and he couldn't help me. But he gave me some advice. He said, 'Just to satisfy your curious mind and nothing else, go and talk to the missionary in the mission house at the end of the road.' And that was fateful advice. He said, because that day the missionary led me to Christ. I quit Hinduism immediately. I began to study for the Christian ministry. I left the diplomatic service. And here I am, by God's grace, in charge of all these missionaries. And we are winning hundreds of thousands of people to Christ." Well, another 8 months passed, and the pastor from Crystal Palace Baptist Church was again in Australia, ministering this time in Sydney, in Gaimere, southern suburb of that city. And he said to the Baptist minister there, "Do you know a little man, an elderly little man, who witnesses and hands out tracts on George Street?" And the pastor there said, "Yes, I do. His name is Mr. Genor, G-E-N-O-R. I don't think he does it anymore. I think he's too frail, too elderly to do that." Well, the pastor from London said, "I want to meet him." 2 nights later, they went round to this little apartment and knocked on the door, and the tiny, frail little man opened the door, and he sat them down and he made them some tea, and he was so frail that he was slopping the tea in the saucer as he brought it to them. And as he sat with them, the preacher from London told him all these accounts over the previous 3 years. And the little old man sat with tears running down his cheeks. And he said to them, "My story goes like this. I was a rating on an Australian warship. I lived a really bad life, a reprobate life. And in a crisis, I really hit the wall. And one of my colleagues whom literally gave me hell was there to help me. He led me to Jesus. And the change in my life was night to day, within 24 hours. I'm so grateful to God. I promised God I would share Jesus in a simple witness with at least 10 people each day, as God gave me strength. And sometimes I was ill, sometimes I couldn't do it, but I made up for it on other days. I wasn't paranoid about it, but I've done this for over 40 years. And in my retirement years, the best place to do it's been George Street. There's hundreds of people there, and I get lots of rejections. But a lot of people very courteously took tracts from me." And he said, "In 40 years of doing this, I've never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until you've told me today." Now that has to be commitment. That has to be just sheer gratitude and love for Jesus to do that. Not hearing of any results for 40 years. If you do a little count, that's 146,100 people that that simple little non-charismatic man influenced somehow to Jesus. And God must have been working on that Baptist minister who was the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Goodness knows how many more people had been brought to Christ and were doing huge jobs and are doing huge jobs out in the mission field today. 2 weeks after their meeting, Mr. Genner died. But can you imagine the reward that he went home to in heaven? His face would never have been on any of the Christian media, any of the Christian magazines. He wouldn't have gotten a write-up in Billy Graham's Decision magazine, as beautiful as these magazines are. Nobody except a little group of Baptists in southern Sydney knew about Mr. Genner. But he was famous in heaven. Heaven knew Mr. Genner. And you can imagine the welcome and the red carpet and the fanfare that he went home to. He knew that the real harvest was the harvest of souls. The real harvest comes through having the bread of life in your life. The real harvest is knowing Jesus.